For June the 29th, 2018, we talk about the WHO's recent report on video game addiction, FAR, Lone Sale, and we ask you what your most useless game skill is. As a programming note, we will not have an episode next week because of the July 4th holiday. Welcome to Level 247. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Jella Prendes.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level, a podcast for people who love video games. Thank you so much for listening. I apologize if I'm low energy. I am hungover, in a sign that excessive drinking is probably something that is firmly in my past. So that's good.
Oh, no.
That is a fun realization.
I hope you were celebrating something.
So last night I went to a show held by the Cincinnati Underground Secret Society, or CUSS. This is something that is done by Travis McElroy of My Brother and Me and the Adventure Zone. Gets, you can't talk about what goes on there, but if you know him, you know probably what that will entail. I didn't realize. So I've known this is a thing for a while. I didn't realize that it was held literally at the theater that is down the street from me.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Oh wow! Cool.
Yeah. So I was like, well, shit, dog. I'll buy the ticket and I'll walk down there. And so it's held at a venue that has a bar. And I'm like, well, I'm here with people. And I saw some people there that I knew. It was a lot of fun. And I was like, yeah, well, let's just drink. And then there's a party at the, like an after party gathering thing at the bar across the street. It is very hard not to name establishments here. people can look it up if they want to, but I want to make it at least a little bit hard to triangulate where I live. Mm-hmm. it was very fun. I was not, I didn't like polish off a bottle of Jim Beam alone in my apartment, but I woke up today and I was just destroyed. I was like, oh God. it might be a while before I do that again.
That is to say, so when PRG happens, right? Like that'll be your next time deciding that this is a good idea.
So Jolly, you were there for kind of the final stand of Duck Feed gathering drinking, when we did Austin. In 2016, with how hungover we got there,
you guys didn't even remember anything that you did when I met you.
Oh, I remembered it. I remember us back.
You don't remember that you bounced. you sure don't remember that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Gary doesn't remember kissing me on the top of the head either, but that's a thing that happened.
We were just happy to see you.
He was very happy.
So. Yeah. No, but at no meeting since, nothing like that, have we really gone overboard with it. Okay, so I don't imagine a PRG
I'm the last one of the last few to see you all smashed out. Gotcha.
Right, unless it happens again. But I'm just there are no promises, but it is something where it's like, oh, like it sucks to just straight up lose a day to this.
Drink. I was thinking about how we could make it happen again, and I was like, I would be curious to see Cole's reaction if I tried to ice him today when we did it to him in college. There's a level of maturity. I'm trying to decide if it would be depending on how close you are to your last hangover, I think would determine the reaction. But
yes, I'd be like, okay, well, how about what I would say is, haha, that's funny. I remember when this was a craze, and then I would go grab some cups and say, we're splitting this.
That's good. That is the appropriate reaction.
Yeah. So we can relive the days of yore, but fuck, taking that to the neck.
So what you remember of the event, it was nice. Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, I remember everything.
It's afterwards that things got hazy. Huh?
Yeah. Well, no, none of it got hazy. I remember talking to all the people and stuff. It was just like,
not that serious.
What's that?
Gotcha. Not that severe. Gotcha.
Right, right. It was,
well, you know, it is a proportion to hydration as well. So you can have like two beers and wind up hungover as fuck if you don't hydrate properly.
And that's a little bit of the thing. I wasn't really, man, talking about drinking is boring. I guess all of that is to say that is my banter.
Meanwhile, I was like, you were doing so good with the water, Cole.
Yep. Well. Yeah, no, but that was fun. If people are in the area, like the next one isn't until September, so it's a little bit of a bummer. It's neat. It's a really cool show to go see. Nice. So that's my banter.
I have related banter, I guess.
Okay.
Which was this was my and Jen's latest weekend for going out huge as well.
Okay.
So there's a wine tasting place within walking distance of us that is under new management. Used to be like really hostile and the guy was not great, and now like this new guy is completely friendly, awesome, and in like, hey, you know, I'm just getting started mode, so you pay for one tasting, you're gonna get like three, and then I'm gonna start making you sandwiches, and then we're gonna hang out like 3 hours past close and just drink like four bottles of wine each.
Yeah.
So we went, we were like, yo, let's stop in for a tasting and then we'll go to dinner somewhere in downtown Montgomery. And that was at like 7 o'clock. And at 10:30, I'm like trying to utter to Jen that I need to go eat dinner or else I'm going to die.
Oh no.
Yeah. But so apparently our thing as a couple is when we get like wicked drunk and we're walking home at night, we will always find houses under construction to break and enter into.
What?
And I don't know if this
Dennis,
do you want this edited out?
Yeah, you've admitted to a crime. not like a serious one, but
like you know, like it down to studs, like it's just roughed in. There's not even like siding up on it.
Oh yeah.
So you can walk around in it and see where all the rooms will be and like guess at what's in there. And it happens. Like when we are drunk enough, it doesn't matter where we're walking to get home, but a house will appear that is at that level of construction, and we will go in and like explore.
The weird thing is it is the same house and it appears, yeah, wherever you're at.
I was going to say something about that.
Yeah. So yeah, there is a monster house that's following us and preying on us.
You will be consumed when your guard is the most down.
Yeah, you guys are all welcome for that free story idea. So this was our last weekend for that as well. The reason we went out so hard is the grandparents had taken the kids for the night and the next day, because we were like leading a class the next morning, which means the next morning we had to get up super wicked early and go in and be like, hey, everyone, it's like an engaged couples class. We are so hungover right now. Let's not talk too loud.
Yeah. We're going to try something. We're going to close the blinds, turn off the lights, and be as quiet as possible.
Welcome to church, guys. We got wicked fucked up last night.
Yeah, we got our slant on.
But am I allowed to say I recommend it? It's kind of a fun pastime.
Drinking.
Cool, no, exploring cool these like roughed in houses.
Getting
a monster house.
Yes. Yeah. Tempting a monster house is definitely the way to go. It's funny because like what you're describing is something that we used to do as kids all the time. Specifically like in elementary school. Yeah, you know, just throw back a couple of bottles. But it was like, you know, our house in our neighborhood was one of the first to go in. And so there was a period of like 3 or 4 years where, you know, the couple of streets we were on, there was always a house under construction.
That's awesome.
The big thing was that it was also, I don't know, maybe one of the first years where it was really done at our school, like the box tops for school funding or whatever kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And also like Pepsi bottle caps were big for that too. So me and Chris and like some of the other neighborhood kids, we would go out and just basically go to these construction sites and scrounge for bottle caps to take into our classes. You know, not out of any sense of civic duty or pride or whatever, but like maybe there were prizes if you brought stuff in. But moreover, it was just fun to go into the shells of these houses and like crawl around in the ditches for the foundation and stuff like that. It was fun. It's like a little adventure. I imagine it'd be fun as a grown-ass adult, but your description of that really raise that memory for me.
Yeah, there's something fun about it, especially if you're drunk enough. So
yeah,
that was I had a big weekend as well. I've had a little bit longer than you to recover from it. So
yes,
slightly more human now.
Yeah, well, also I recorded for 4 hours earlier talking about The Sims 3. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh well. Jala, how about you?
Well, I don't have any rowdy drinking stories, but I attended a summer solstice observance on last Thursday for Midsummer when Kaminari Taiko, which is a Japanese drum group, performed, and it was really awesome. And I uploaded photos and video clips to my Instagram, which cross-posts to my Twitter and Facebook. So if you follow me in social media somewhere, one of those places, you have seen them pop up in your feed. If not, go look at them. They're cool. Also, my family rescued a wild dove, and it couldn't fly. Last night, I put him... This was, like, late at night. It just kind of, like... smashed into one of the cars and just like laid on the driveway, and we think it was trying to flee a hawk or something. Okay. And so my dad picked it up before one of the cats in the neighborhood got to it, or our dog got to it, and he just kind of like shoved it at me and said, here, look at the bird. It's a bird. You do something with it, you know? Yes. And I'm like, okay. So I looked it over and it didn't have any blood on it or anything, but it was kind of dazed and confused. So I have a spare bird cage, you know, since I have two parakeets and a cockatiel. And so I put it in that cage overnight. And this morning I tried to release him and he could not fly. Mm. So then on my lunch break, I took him over to a wildlife rehab center. So he is now in skilled hands and he should be okay. But due to my pets and the incident of the dove, a few people are now independent of each other, not mm-hmm. even like, you know, not even on the same social media, telling me that I am a Disney princess. And I thoroughly object to this because I don't know of a Disney princess who can kick as much ass as I can.
Right.
maybe Mulan.
Yeah, I was going to say Mulan, probably.
When I was little, though, I was always like, fight, you fucker. What is wrong with you? I'm so pissed. I was so mad all the time at all the Disney princesses. And I was very bitter about this. And that's why I liked Xena and Damona from Gargoyles. And those were my characters I liked.
Yeah.
You were being coy
earlier saying like, oh, people said I was a Disney princess, but I'll talk about that on the show, how I'm not. And I said, please tell me you didn't cook the bird, because that would be a very quick way to dissuade people of that.
No, that's terrible. I'm vegan for one.
I know.
Kill it. When I was little, my sister discovered that you could burn ants with a magnifying glass in the sun, and so she was on the driveway trying to do that, and I was crying and trying to tell her to stop because I was like, that ant has a family, and I was thinking about it being like the dad ant, and then like the babies would never see the dad again because it got burned in the so like I seriously wouldn't even use animal-shaped erasers, okay? So, like, signs I should have been vegan from, like, the get-go, you know? Like, I refused to use animal-shaped erasers. I didn't want to eat a chocolate bunny because it looked like a bunny. I did not want any of that. So, but anyway, so... Dude, I have never in my life been bailed out of a terrible situation by a guy, other than in social settings, when, mm-hmm. like, I'm about to get into a fight with somebody if somebody doesn't back off, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when some dude comes in and plays mediator, but, like, insofar as an actual physical altercation or something, nobody's ever jumped in and tried to help me. Oh, please. Whatever. They have been mediators. They have not been white knights. I am not a fucking Disney princess. If anything, I am a ranger, I am a druid, I am whatever you want to call it from a D&D setting.
Yes.
That works better. The Beastmaster.
Yeah, the Beastmaster.
If y'all would please submit your character creation sheets for Jala, that would make me very happy. I want to see that stat block. So, that came out wrong. Damn, girl, show me that stat block.
That is okay. But anyway, better that than Disney Princess. Fuck you and your fucking Disney Princess. I'm so mad. Got all that vim and vinegar out of my system now. But anyway, that's all I've been up to. I rescued Burb and I went to a Tyco thing. And otherwise, all of the rest of the weekend was just like everything else getting injured. My dad got injured and Rami got injured. My cockatiel got injured. And then this bird shows up and gets injured. I'm just like, what kind of, you know, Twilight Zone am I in this weekend that everything is just, you know, hurt? So, but Ronnie is okay. My dad is okay. He's recovering, and the bird is now at a vet, so they're all okay now.
Good.
Were they all falling injuries as well?
Well, kind of. Rami caught his toenail on something and then yanked it away and then just kind of like, you know, started falling and yanked his toenail away and ripped his toenail. No, kind of like if you were to cut your nail down to the quick and it starts bleeding. His started bleeding and I was like, oh my God, his toe. But it was actually just the nail that got caught. Right. So we're going to be, you know, filing down all the rest of his nails to make sure after the one toe heals, we will file down the other nails and make sure that he doesn't catch any of them on anything. And then my dad, yeah, he just straight up fell. And then the bird smacked into a car and then fell. So yeah, they were all falling.
The gravity around your city is kind of going wonky.
Gravity just in my house is, I don't know. So
anomalous. Anyway,
yeah. Well, anyway, that it's over now, hopefully.
Yes.
But yeah, I also posted pictures of the dove, including pictures of me holding said wild dove on my hand. So, like, if you want to see that, it's also in the same place as everything else gets posted.
Yeah. Did you name the dove?
No. I didn't want to name it. It's not my dove.
Okay.
He is wild and free. He shall remain nameless.
Yes. Cool. And Ben, round us out.
I'll go back to drinking stories.
Hiku must not be named. I'm sorry. I was a little late on that one, but it's so good.
Wait, what?
Hiku must not be named.
Oh, jeez. I think that's not going to be a title because I think it works better as a it works better out loud.
Yes, it's in the banter zone too.
Yes.
Well, also Ben really wants to talk about drinking.
Yeah, take that's us true. Back.
I had friends come in town to visit for a bachelorette party, but I got to hang out with them the night before the bachelorette got in town. Mm-hmm. And so we went downtown and we went to a place that I hadn't been before called the Russian House. And it's like all it is vodkas. It's like there's no beer. It's like all infused vodkas. And so you just pick a flavor of something and there's like a vodka that's been infused with it and you can try it. So like there's like pickle juice if you want to go crazy, or like cinnamon, or like chocolate, or whatever. So it was really interesting, and it was fun.
The pickle juice vodka for all of the pregnant women with cravings.
There's like a pickle. Yeah, well, there's also at Sonic, which is a burger place down here. I don't know if it's everywhere. Anyway, they now have a pickle juice slushy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It looks
I
vile.
Don't like pickles, generally speaking. Same. So I don't care.
Yeah. No, that sounds fucking vile is what it sounds like.
Yeah. There's a lot of people swearing that it's good, but I will never, ever, ever have it. So
yeah, they're lying. I think they just want to impress you.
Right.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we've had an eventful past week or so. So we've got the usual kind of show for you, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And why don't we get started with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of games around us. Jala, what is the story that you brought for us?
Well, the World Health Organization now says that gaming addiction, and they specify video gaming, so like this isn't talking about gambling, that's right. A different thing. Anyway, it is a form of mental illness. They now call it a mental illness, and they describe it as playing video games for an unhealthy amount of time, not feeling like you can stop, putting gaming over other life priorities, and continuing to play games despite negative consequences. And some of the symptoms that they talk about are like playing every day, calling into work, falling victim to the feeling of escape, kind of like when you're addicted to drugs or alcohol, and lean into those as an escape, which makes me laugh because I don't even want to know how many people this actually like is mentioning, like how many people it talks about, like how many people have, like, I have never called out of work for anything video game related. However, Cole, I know you have, and other people I know have as well. Now, to be fair, you have a podcast about video games. You have a network of podcasts from which you draw income.
Yes.
But, you know, at the same time, like, there are other people who call out of work and take time off just to do the gaming thing and who do play every day and things like that. And now apparently you now have a mental illness, according to the WHO.
So it's one of those things, right? Like, if you believe a pamphlet that, let's say, the Church of Latter-day Saints hands out, you probably will inevitably determine that you are an alcoholic based on the criteria they set out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between the World Health Organization and the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I just said more of like an analogy, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that, like, calling off work to play a game, like, people have probably done that. I know people who listen to this, you know, have done that, but that's around like a release and not so much because, well, shit, I need to get further in XYZ. You know, it's almost always like a planned thing, you know, when that happens. Right. So like the same phrase describes two very different behaviors, one of which is probably like, yeah, that's a problem. And the other one's like, well, no, you're just a person with a not an active hobby. It's a very sedentary hobby, but you are a person who's very engaged in a hobby that takes time.
Actively engaged in a just passive hobby.
Yeah. Like, would you say that somebody who is really into hiking, who said, hey, I'm, you know, the first day that this trail is open, I'm going to go. That happens to be on a work day. I'm going to call off for this and go and hit that. Right.
Or like people who took off work to see like Star Wars the day it came out.
Yeah.
Like, are they addicted to movies? It's like, oh, probably
exactly.
Not.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what this means for anybody. I don't know. Like, if it qualifies according to the WHO as a mental illness, I wonder if that means they're going to start prescribing medications for it because big pharma or what?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm curious to see what happens as a result of them classifying it as a mental illness.
Yeah.
You know, like, does anything happen or is it just like a interesting fact? You know, like, I don't know.
I think
how much. Yep.
I think there's just like a lot of blowback about this where everybody who says that like video games causes like violence in kids like jump on this to be like, yeah, it's an addiction and it's like terrible and you should ban video games. Because I already heard like one NPR story where one pundit was saying these types of things and it's I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it'll probably settle out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think like the WHO, when it makes a declaration like this or a finding, it requires an awful lot of like sub agencies at like the national or local level to actually act on this. I don't know.
If I remember correctly, it only identifies it as a condition for further study versus something that can be prescribed against.
Yes. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. That was something that was not in my article that I saw anyway.
Yeah.
So, like,
so I want to be very measured about this. And, you know, kind of look, because there definitely is a knee-jerk reaction against it. But, like, what they're saying here could apply to a bunch of different stuff. Things that are not drugs can be addicting, see sex, see gambling, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's worth considering the possibility that this is a thing and to not, like, jump and say, oh, I play video games X, Y, Z. Like, no, they're probably not talking about you and they're probably not taking aim at you. Like, this is... This is for a very grave and depressing, you know, situation that somebody else has found themselves in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then too, it's like the work-life balance or, you know, like general overall balance of how you do stuff. I mean, that's something you should be generally kind of conscious of and, you know, strive to, you know, make everything work as best you can. I mean, you know, everybody's got their obligations and needs and whatnot, but you know, that's really more like the way that I read it on there is like, it's kind of like in the news too, they were talking about how Facebook has timers now, or it's going to have timers. So that way they can tell you, like, remind you how long you've been using Facebook. So like you stop sitting on it for so long because people are addicted to Facebook, you know, and they don't do anything but sit on Facebook all the time, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So. The interesting thing about this is the guidelines are fairly vague. And it is something that does not get updated often. So like this would be interesting if it was something that got updated every year, right? Notable. But this gets updated like every 2 decades or something.
Yeah.
Like it is a long time between actual updates of this.
Well, I suppose we will see if anything comes of it or if it's just a thing that happened.
I want to see the drug. Yeah. What would you name a drug that is specifically designed to help with your gaming addiction?
Right. I don't even know.
Casual
Saul. Nubisil? Sorry, Cole, you had one?
I said casual Saul. what was it you said, Dennis?
I said Nubisil.
Nubisil. Ask your doctor. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's something, and who knows if this makes me the asshole, but it's like, if your reaction is very violent or very defensive or outspoken, if somebody tries to take your games away, maybe that's...
Yeah, you might not even be addicted. It's just too high of a priority in your life.
So something like that. And, you know, people can care about things. People can not want to be painted with the brush of mental illness because that's a serious
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably not a good instinct that's my reaction to it. But it's like, whoa, this should be a prompt for introspection. And that can be momentary and say like, nah, that's fine. But like addictive behavior is addictive behavior no matter what the stimulus is. Right.
Yeah. It's like you should never try to control a thought from coming into your head in the first place. You should only worry about how you react to it. So,
yeah. Weird. Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. It's a thing. Let's move on.
Let's do that. Ben, what in the world is going on with Westworld and Fallout Shelter?
Yeah. So I had heard of this headline during the week, but I kind of wanted to go into one detail about it. So apparently Bethesda is suing Warner Brothers because they are putting out a Westworld game and they're calling it a ripoff of Fallout Shelter. Mm-hmm. So that was the headline that I had like read in passing. I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting or whatever. I watched a trailer for the game. It doesn't really show much of the actual game, but the mechanic that they claim that they're ripping off is, quote, cartoonish 2D characters in a 3D environment, and then end quote. And the underground multi-room facilities that players explore build in both Fallout Shelter and Westworld. So, like, that it has, like, the same sort of mechanics. Mm-hmm. Thought that was interesting primarily because you could describe that same behavior in XCOM. So, like, should the suit, like, fall back then? And I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I think if you read further, the real interesting thing is how they knew is that it was literally the same code, is that a bug that was in the early version of Fallout Shelter, which was later fixed, also appears in Westworld.
Buh?
Meaning that they literally copy-pasted the code from an earlier version of Fallout Shelter.
No,
so I this gotcha. Is, yeah, yeah.
I was about to fire off and say, I mean, come on, like Bethesda's really litigious about stuff. I remember when they tried to sue Mojang because Mojang released a game called Scrolls, you know, like, it was like, but if there's signs that they actually copied code, that's dirty pool. No.
Yes.
that is a far more claim than, hey, your, you know, building and management sim resembles our building and management sim. Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is, yeah, it's just funny that is the thing that got them. Like, if you're going to copy code, at least copy, like, the most recent code.
Yeah. Well, that is crass and bad. Huh. Bad on them. And also, that visual style is no good and doesn't, like, I don't know why they sought to turn the Westworld characters into Bitmoji like this. Like, in Fallout Shelter, you know, like those designs make sense. They're like little Pip-Boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, this is ugly and generic.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say about it. I don't know anything about Westworld.
Yeah, it's fine. It is fine. I have one. This is about and we cannot shake the E3 aftermath stuff, but I thought this was notable, specifically because something that was notably absent from E3 was the Final Fantasy VII remake. We commented on this. It was something that we kind of expected to show up, but it was not there. Instead, we had about 7 different showings of the same Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer. Now, the same person is kind of directing both of these projects. This is Tetsuya Nomura. And he has basically come out and said, well, I'll just read the quote. "I am well aware of the fact that we announced it too early," referring to the Final Fantasy VII remake, which was revealed officially, I believe, in 2015. 2015, right. We went, Dennis, you and I, we went to that theater event for that, right?
Yeah, I remember. What's funny is I saw this headline. I was like, oh, yeah, that was like, what, 2 years ago? Nope.
Three.
Yeah.
But yeah, people are like, hey, where's this? We need more details, etc. Well aware that we announced it too early, but even in the industry, word was beginning to spread that we were working on this game. We decided not to keep it more secret and officially reveal it. Basically getting out in front of the leak. I guess it had already leaked and there were rumors about it. They admit that, yeah, we did something very similar. We did something very similar with Kingdom Hearts 3, just announced it way too early. It is a delicate balance to hit between like making the announcement or just letting it get out. So it makes sense that they tried to control the story because it was so big anyway. But that doesn't necessarily address the concerns that a lot of people have about the direction of this, because apparently all the questions that we expect to have answered, they haven't even begun working on addressing them because they're still so early on in the process.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems like
a difficult. Can't be disappointed by a game if it doesn't come out, I guess.
or if it takes years and years to come out and you just decide not to play it. Hi, Last Guardian.
Yeah.
Oh well, yeah, no, but I think that the poorly kept secret, or just kind of the tacit assumption, is that a lot of the stuff that we saw at E3 is certainly not intended for current hardware. Like, mm-hmm. the things were not necessarily announced for being on whatever the next generation is, if there even is one, as opposed to the half measures that are coming. But
PlayStation 5 is the next generation.
Right. stuff like that. But like, no, like just like nothing that has been announced, and, you know, none of this big stuff that's, you know, far out is necessarily being designed for machines that are already in our houses. Yeah. Any reactions to that?
No, I'm not surprised.
No, it's this is my surprised voice.
I don't mind them taking the stance like, we'd rather have us tell you about it than a random leak. Like, I can mm-hmm. understand that, especially if it's something that you worked hard on and you're proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like get more comfortable if you're going to share it at that point. Be like, hey, this is super wicked early.
Yeah.
I don't know what combination of phrases could convince people that it's not about to come out next week.
Yeah.
Right. Or will somehow set the expectations correctly for when it might be available. But
yeah,
certainly louder than they did when they showed it.
Well, something that I think worked against them was the fact that they showed it in 2015, 2 years before the game's 20th anniversary. Like, mm-hmm. in a sane world, when they were far enough along to be showing something that was of the quality that they showed, people would naturally assume that they would see something as like an anniversary celebration, right? Regardless of how rational that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if you're in that situation, you just let people make rumors or whatever and just don't respond to them.
Yeah.
Because it'll go away pretty quickly instead of there being a bunch of hype.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, what is happening? Sorry. The internet's a fucking nightmare. I don't know if anybody heard that.
Are you talking about my next story?
No. The internet's a fucking nightmare because, like, oh, I'm opening up these tabs so I can read the stuff that we're talking about and reference it or whatever. And then let's just autoplay. Okay, let's not just autoplay audio on screen advertisement, you know, right when you open it. No, let's wait for about 10-15 minutes, like while you're scrolling, to play it in the middle of a podcast that you're doing, because we don't live in a goddamn society. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off.
Let me tell you why the internet is great.
Okay.
Let's say you've just always had this thing since you were a kid. Like, you heard the song Santa Baby and you're like, yeah, I get that.
Like, the Santa baby is all about me. I need a sugar daddy, by which I mean a candy cane daddy.
I know exactly what chimney they're singing about.
Yeah.
And let's say you've never really had a place to express that, but you've always really kind of loved The Sims.
It's a great game. We just did, this week is when episode 200 of Watch Out for Fireballs about The Sims 3 comes out. It's a good game.
I hate Santa Baby. Continue.
Oh, no, it's a terrible song.
Yes.
But yes, for the purpose of the fiction, it has informed lots of things about my life. Continue.
Yeah. Yeah, well, The Sims 4 is now granting your wish. Since early Sims games, it's been possible to make whoopee, which they call woohoo in the game.
I love that you chose another euphemism. Yes, woohoo, which is a synonym for whoopee.
which is a synonym for
knocking boots. I was about to say for making babies, but even that's a little bit too crass. Continue.
Yeah, there's a really funny story in my past about agreeing that I had done the full Monty and then realized I had no idea what that meant. But anyway, so they've had that in the game for a while. But what has not been in the game is the ability to do it with Santa Claus.
And
I know that's exactly where your minds all went, right?
To biggity boink old Saint Nick.
Yes. And so with The Sims' latest expansion, which is The Sims 4 Seasons, which why did Seasons come out around now? Like what happened that brought
Midsummer?
Midsummer holiday.
The Sims 3 had a Seasons expansion. Like, this actually looks pretty neat. Like, the Seasons expansion for Sim 3 adds, you know, like weather. Add seasons and stuff like that, and it, like, it's a cosmetic difference aside from the festivals and stuff and the different holidays that it gives you, but it's notable. Like, it's good. Like, the Sims 4 is about in the period of its life cycle where that makes sense.
Okay Very cool.
It doesn't make sense that you can straight up get knocked up by old Saint Nick.
Oh, it gets even better. So yeah, not only can you hook up with Santa, but he can impregnate you, and you can have Santa's child, who will have a special bonus, a trait, about them being the child of Santa Claus, that apparently just gives a slight bonus to satisfaction. Hmm. I'm not familiar with the systems in the game.
Right.
You can also romance Santa Claus, convince him to join your family, marry him and have kids with him. But get this, those children will not get the bonus.
It has to be done out of wedlock. It has to be a mailman baby.
Okay.
I think the bonus is going to be that he's self-parenting because he knows when he's been naughty or nice.
Yeah. What did Santa leave in your stocking?
Exactly.
Hung with care.
Oh, boy.
Oh my god. Okay. No, that's amazing.
I like how me and Jala are just frowning right now under our microphones.
Oh, let me play. Let me play here, please.
Oh, that's good. So the mechanical reason is that apparently if you convince Santa, this just has all kinds of like the Santa Claus with an E-esque implications for Santa lore.
Right, right.
That if you can convince him to leave and settle down, it spawns a new Santa Claus.
Oh. Someone else takes up the mantle. It's exactly. Tim Allen.
Has the mantle thrust upon them.
Yeah. and so that person then gets the magic in them of giving their children slightly higher satisfaction than average.
I want to play as Santa. Like, I want to over the course of one supernaturally long night, like, go around and, like, you know, decide what gift they should get.
Yeah. And then you just, you know, come down the chimney and put on the Justin Timberlake song from SNL.
Which one?
That would be My Dick in a Box.
Oh, okay. hung with care. Yeah.
Not as magical the second time.
It's fine. I'll do it a third time in about a half hour, and it's gonna fucking kill. So
yeah, just an interesting, like, I mean, Sims has always had mods for like allowing you to sleep with NPCs that you would normally be able to sleep with, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And this time the developers were just like, literally, fuck it. Let's put it in there in the game.
They've had that attitude for a while.
They know why people are still playing The Sims. Apparently you are also able to shag a scarecrow as part of this expansion, which go figure.
Yeah.
So can if you've you ever sleep with death yet?
No, that still needs to be modded.
Yeah. You can. I think if death comes to a party, you can dance around with them. I think you can befriend them.
Yeah. Spoilers for the Adventure Zone. Jeez.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. This is highly entertaining to me, and I'm very satisfied with the one-liners it generated as well.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah, no, this is I'm definitely in a Sims mood. This is, well, you know, not to give too much away about that episode of the show, which by the time this comes out, either will be available or has been available on the early release feed. No, like just having played a bunch of The Sims 3, it is such a special game, and I have like a shitload of expansions for The Sims 4. I might just pick this up and like do something, like maybe stream it. I don't know. It's good. It is a good, fun game. And, you know, you get to boink Santa.
Always a plus.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. Does that make you naughty or nice?
Both.
What a serious question. Can you seduce Santa as either gender?
I don't know.
Well, you can't have a kid as either gender unless there's like other stuff involved.
So Sims 4 is very, very progressive in terms of its character kind of the creation. Like it gives you the ability to determine, okay, you know, what
I don't know anything about Sims, so I don't know how much by realism it goes.
I mean, it's not by realism. Like, so out of the box, men can become pregnant by aliens. However, the Sims 4 basically lets you it divorces gender signifiers from whatever you select. So you have options for like, okay, when this person goes to the bathroom, do they sit or do they stand? Can the sim get pregnant by normal ways? So, you know,
so you can make it, you can change all of it to do whatever you
right. So, you know, basically a person's biology is completely different from the way they present, which is cool and good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. Then the answer is yes.
Oh man, this is ridiculous.
In the best possible way. You know, just you know, your typical June Christmas story.
Yeah, Christmas. Oh July. Shit,
we're Come recording up. On June 25th, which makes this the perfect time to talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, we are diametrically opposed.
Yeah, literally as far away from Christmas as you can get.
Yeah. Jolly, you put a link in here, and I'm not sure if you intended to talk about it on the air, but I read the story as well. What's going on in Super Mario Odyssey?
There's porn in it now, thanks to people. So there is a hack in Super Mario Odyssey that lets people upload their custom avatars to their profiles, and of course that means that people are uploading porn images for their profile pictures. And then in the game, Luigi's Balloon World mode is like something that was released as a free update earlier in this year. And basically you hunt down balloons that other players have hidden, but inside the balloon is a picture of the avatar who hid them. So that means inside the game, there's all these like porn avatars in Luigi's Balloon World now because somebody hacked the game. So
because why not?
So it just kind of was in the spirit of Christmas.
Oh yes.
So
I really want to learn more about how you celebrate Christmas now.
Well, okay, you're talking about bonking Santa.
Yule log.
Oh god.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. What is the question, Dennis, that you asked the nice people?
Yeah. So, as of this recording, Summer Games Done Quick is going on, and that is like the showcase for otherwise completely useless video game related skills, right? Like people have spent countless hours, perfecting one small technique that's relevant in one place, and really is completely a bad idea unless you're trying to beat the game as fast as possible.
Right.
Which led me to wonder, like, when have you ever spent the time to develop a difficult video game skill or talent that really doesn't actually have any relevance to the main game?
Yeah. What is the screen? So I know it's Overwatch. What was the screenshot you decided to highlight for this?
So this is, I'll just lead with mine this time since it's relevant. This is a screenshot of on certain maps, you start inside of like a ship, like a helicopter hovercraft kind of deal. And there's a basketball hoop on one side and there's a basketball sitting on the table on the other side. And if you melee the basketball, it'll launch it into the air. And if you are like frame perfect and a little bit lucky, you can get it into the hoop and there will be this like explosion of confetti and, you know, I
Cole's favorite thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little celebration. It's incredibly hard to do. And it is like only a little time waster before the actual match begins.
Yeah.
So I like every single match that it's available, I am like sitting and positioning myself, and I know I'm going to have a bad team if someone fucks with my attempt.
They need to read you. They need to read your intention. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, this is as much a part of the game as anything else for me.
Absolutely. Man, I'm excited to get to some of these. So Jack writes, Final Fantasy X lightning dodges. I spent a good I spent a good 2 weeks honing my craft on that. I got the 200 consecutive dodges down, and boy, was it a huge letdown. I wouldn't say the reward was irrelevant, but it was not a skill worth having, that's for sure.
Dude, like, in that game, I actually was trying to get some of the unlocked, you know, ultimate weapons, and I got, like, I don't know, three of them at least, but I was looking at that one, and I was like, all right, let me go. And I went there and I sat there for a minute and I dodged like 15 times in a row. And that's as far as I got with that shit. Never mind. It's not worth my time. So I went out of my way on some, but not that much out of my way.
Whose ultimate weapon do you get for that? I feel like such a poser asking that question.
I thought it was Yuna's, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to look it up.
Yeah, well, that sucks because I like using Yuna. She's a very good, but it's the sphere grade. You can make somebody else into Yuna. It's fine. Yeah. Infamous. Ben, what does Mike say?
Mike says, in Super Mario 3, I perfected the jump just as the wind falls after beating the boss move. After the wand falls, excuse me. Yeah.
I think that lets you freeze midair, which is nice. Yeah. Nothing to add on that. That is a good
style points as well.
That is a good skill. It's like a sitcom. It's like the hat freezing in the air in the opening of Mary Tyler Moore.
Yep.
Jello
confirm that the lightning bolts is for Lulu's weapon.
For Lulu. Oh. Okay. Oh,
the Venus sigil.
Okay. Huh. At least it wasn't Yuna. At least it wasn't one of your summoners.
Who am I reading?
You are reading Sam's.
Sam! Okay. Jumping, then squatting immediately in Mario 1, 3, and World. Back in the day, we called this a butt burst.
That sounds so violent. Why would you do that?
Well, child.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. No, that's definitely the way to do it, though. So again, style points. Dennis, what does Greg say?
Greg, and there's a lot of Mario responses. Greg says, as a kid, I had the one-up trick mastered in Super Mario Brothers 1 to get 99 lives. This is stomping on a Koopa turtle shell near a wall.
Yeah. And then walking away. Yeah. Lindsay writes, I beat Dark Souls 1, DLC included, in 3 hours and 30 minutes without using the halberd. I used the club Cole. I anticipated your question, and you only get one. Okay. Well, I'll step away from this. I'm not aware of a strategy for finishing the game early that necessitates using a halberd.
Is it just maybe a popular way to do it? Or
so I know that running for the Black Knight halberd in Darkroot Basin is a popular like first move. Like that ends up being a run killer. But I'm not sure if at the level, though 3 hours and 30 minutes is impressive, I'm not sure if the halberd is necessary to achieve that.
Huh. Well, clearly not.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Good work. And
also brings up a good idea for Club Cole.
Club Cole. It is a big building with lots of rooms where people go in and be left alone. It is a home for scared people. Let's see here. Ben, what does Chris say?
Chris says, after watching many Super Mario Brothers 3 speedruns, I've learned a big part of it, aside from being an insane memorizing machine, is keeping the P speed maxed out, including doing a jump out of a pipe to keep it going. I've learned how to do that. That's about it, however, and it's gotten me nowhere. But it's fun to mess around with.
I wish that keeping the P meter maxed was not didn't necessarily cause the change to the music and the soundtrack. Because when that is full, you hear...
Yeah, it drives me nuts.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's hard. I like that music and I like the sound design of Mario games. It's kind of like in like Mega Man 4 keeping or 5, keeping your Buster charged all the time just ruins the music.
Yeah. Yep. Keeping the P speed max is also very important for potty training. Cannot let them get distracted and dribble off.
No. You need to just finish the
job. You are on a dad joke roll today, Dennis.
In the oeuvre, yeah.
it's in the groove. Jala, what does Adam say before you leave the show?
You're going to make me develop a headache. All right, Adam says, recently, I have gotten a lot better at the Sonic 3 style bonus stages in Sonic Mania. The ones that get faster as you collect the blue balls actually finished a stage today. Never did that before.
Hmm.
Congrats.
Cool. Yeah. I call those stages the Widowmaker for motion sickness. It's not a clever name or a short name, but it applies.
I actually got pretty far in those and like some of the other ones to get the Chaos Emeralds and stuff back in the day. I have no patience for that shit now.
Oh yeah. You know, back in the day, I definitely got a hold of those because I was motivated to get all those emeralds. Nowadays though, nah. Dennis, what does Devin say?
Devin says, crouch jumping using very specific map objects and spots in Team Fortress 2 just to hide as a scout. Only useful in prop hunt maps.
Prop hunt.
Yeah, I'm curious about this one because it the second time the idea of like the crouching right after jumping has come up. And I haven't seen that used in Team Fortress 2 before.
I need to...
He played a lot of that games, according to what he has told me, so...
Yeah...
Do not know.
I have no idea what prop hunt stands for.
I'm sure he'll tell me whenever he listens to the episode.
Okay.
I will convey the information.
Follow up, because going to the wiki just says, oh, prop hunt, like it always is. Yeah. Anyway, that was you, Dennis, who read that, right?
Correct.
So this will be me reading Rob's, saying, in my first playthrough of Breath of the Wild, I willingly went into hard mode and took on Thunderblight Ganon first with only 5 hearts. I probably spent 8+ hours across 2 days trying to beat it because I'm stubborn. I got very good at the dodge counters, better than I needed to be for the rest of the game. And
I want to know if he actually succeeded.
Yeah, the wording is a little bit vague. I want to believe that since this is a story, he did. took on and surmounted, but I don't know. Let us know. Basically what I'm saying is, when you answer one of these questions, provide every last detail we ever want to know.
You should also express whether he loves or hates Zelda, because I could see either one for the strategy.
You mean now?
Yeah. Like, I hate Zelda, so I'm gonna play the game in as short amount of time as possible.
Well, that's just one of the 4 Ganons you have to go after.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know that.
No, that's the Thunderblight. He went down to Gerudo Valley first. Like, come on.
Don't you know?
Confusing Ganon with Ganondorf. My apologies.
No, it's fine. Ben, what does Jonathan say?
Jonathan says, I like doing the 3D Sonic secret stages when you plug into Sonic 2. When you plug in Sonic 2 into Sonic and Knuckles, I did thousands of them. I was clearly bored as a kid.
Nice. Let's see. Jala, what does Austin say?
Austin says, me and my friend Jared spent countless hours one-upping each other in the Batman Arkham City fight rooms, which finally ended with us getting the number 2 and number 3 all-time high scores.
Whoa, congratulations.
That was okay, impressive, that yes.
Yeah.
Those are big games.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And then finally here, Dennis, what does Patrick say?
Yeah, Patrick says, when I was young, I maxed out the gold and experience counter in Dragon Warrior 1 on the NES. I had beaten the game long before this, but decided to do it anyway. It did teach me an important number for computers as I got older, 65535, which is the maximum for an unsigned 16-bit integer in binary. Huh. But I didn't understand that until I took a programming class in college. That's really funny that you kind of ran into that number well before you ever had the context for it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. That's basically realizing that 255 was such a prevalent number in computers was how I had that revelation, too. It was like, oh, that's like, cool. Like that has to do with like registers and stuff. Neat.
Very cool.
Yeah. No, that is worthwhile knowledge. I wouldn't call that a useless skill. I mean, getting to the max, probably, but
you got to that skill, that useful skill, in the most useless way possible.
Yeah. So, Dennis, you already gave yours. Mine, mm-hmm. I mean, all that I can think of is pro guitar and rock bands, maybe.
Oh, that was the weird between step, right?
Yeah, with that crazy 144 button Mustang thing, mm-hmm. You know, I've moved on to Rocksmith or whatever since then, but that controller is a fucking nightmare, and I don't know why I spent so much time trying to trying to do that when I had literally a guitar right there. The only other thing I could say is the only other skill would be learning just where to jump when you go through a boss gate in Mega Man so he freezes in midair and then drops down, but that's not very hard. That's not a skill. That's just something you do out of compulsion.
Sure.
Style yeah. points, man.
Style points. Ben, how about you?
I would say in shooter type games, like in Halo, learning how to grenade jump or to go to random spots in the map where people can't find you. Or I remember one in Medal of Honor specifically, there was a way you could jump up on a house and you could walk to this really obscure part of it where you're standing on the higher part of the ceiling in the middle of a room and you could shoot down at people and they weren't expecting it. That's about it.
Nice. Yeah. This wasn't a useless skill, but one that was very satisfying to learn was in the original, was in Team Fortress Classic, learning how to do concussion grenade jumps and rocket jumps, really, really good ones that would let you span the map.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. There were trainer maps that you would do when I was doing, when I was in a clan for that. Birds of Prey, squaw! we would spend hey, we're gonna have a practice night where we're all just gonna work on our conk jumps. Yeah, but those were useful. Sounds like yours was too. Jala, how about you?
No.
you put everything to use.
I did. Look, seriously, okay, do you know who I am?
I do.
The way that I play games is such that I get bored of whatever. And I will get bored and go off and assign myself something to do, but I get bored of the things that I assign myself to do as well. So you know, if the game doesn't catch my attention enough that I am paying attention to the main track of whatever it is, I'm not going to dick around in the other stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not interested. Yeah. And so I was saying with Final Fantasy X, that was probably the most I've ever gone out of the way in a game to sort of kind of try to min-max things.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even do all of them. I did the easiest ones I could find out of those and I didn't really go out of my way or learn a new skill to do them. They were the ones where it's go to this place and get this thing and then fight this guy. And yeah. That's it. It wasn't the lightning dodges or anything like that. Hell no. Hell no.
Too much.
Yeah. I don't have enough emotional investment in any particular game to be I just need to you know, sit here and I'm not the type of person who min-maxes. I'm not the type of person who tries to perfect my gameplay or beat a time or beat a score. Like, not very often. Like, okay, with the Skydancer, yeah, I was doing that to beat a score, but that's kind of because it's a zen out game and I'm not really thinking about it when I'm doing it. Right, it's not like, you know, like it's not a big deal. But plus you end up in that particular game getting stuff to boost your ability to get more points. So it's also like a natural progression kind of thing.
Right.
So, you know, like I just overall, it's just not my MO. I don't care. So it's like, once I get my experience out of the game, it's fine. And I don't care about perfecting anything. This is why like Sam is a blessing, because when I talk about my grind, I'm talking about like Sniper Elite. Mm-hmm. I don't try to, you know, be like, oh, I can't be seen or anything. I'm a sniper. I'm not supposed to be seen. I'm supposed to like try to hide the whole fucking time. I go Rambo sometimes just because I just lose patience and I'm just like, I'm gonna just kill everybody. Never mind.
Yeah.
It's fine. So, I don't know. I don't get good at a particular thing because I don't care enough to do so.
Nice. A reasonable answer. Yeah. So that sounds like a multiplayer to me. I refreshed to see if anybody got in late. Thank you everybody for writing in. If you want to participate in those, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for them to go up on Mondays.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, you were not here last time, so I will throw it to you first.
Sure. So like I was saying, in the multiplayer, I've been playing Sniper Elite 4 with Sam. And I've said it before, but the campaign levels in this game are so much bigger than in Sniper Elite 3. I actually looked up because I was curious as to how much bigger they are. And it turns out every single level in Sniper Elite 4 is a minimum of 3 times bigger than the largest Sniper Elite 3 level.
That seems like an asset for a sniping game.
That's a lot of extra stuff to do. And there's like, just to kind of recap differences and stuff about this versus the other one. There's more climbing and levels of action going on. Like there's more verticality to the levels this time around. There's different types of ammo. Sam and I had forgotten about this, but there were different types of ammo. And we, like when we were playing this last time, he was like, I must have a different type of ammo. Oh, there's a button. And I'm like, I don't have that button. So he had picked up some ammo that I didn't have.
Yeah.
Does this mean like, oh, I need 30 cal versus 45? Or is this flame like, ammo?
Yeah, incendiary or whatever type of ammo instead of, you know, just reg. And
that's the cool kind. Never in the history of games has having to manage like 30 versus 45 versus whatever.
Yeah. And also every item on the weapon wheel has at least 2 functions. So grenades can be normal or sticky, for example, that kind of a thing. So you can use different weapons in different ways in this one. There's also more story stuff. Like we started out the newest level in a safe zone talking to NPCs and basically learning about what's going on. And our main dude talks and he's got like kind of a personality, which is he's like bantering with people. Kind of cool. So anyway, we only finished mission 3, Regalino Viaduct, because these levels are so big. Like one play session for us is one mission, you know, like we don't have enough time in that play session to do more than one, because usually I have to deuce out and go do stuff. Anyway, in this particular mission, we took down several different control points. We wrecked an ammo stash, like a ammo warehouse and a transport, blew up one of our own downed planes before the enemy could get secrets out of it. And then we took down, like, of course, snipers and armored vehicles. But then we also crossed a minefield and then blew up a bridge and a railgun on the bridge. It was pretty cool.
What conflict does this take place during?
It is mystery. I don't have to remember. I said it the last time I talked about
you
this game.
Philistine.
I'm just curious, like, what the level of technology is. You said railgun, and I was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, it's a railgun. I don't remember when this takes place.
Industrial Revolution.
Sure. Anyway, like somebody can Google that. But yeah. Anyway, there are 8 missions total in this game, which is in line with how many there were in Sniper Elite 3. This one is taking place in, I think it's Italy. So whatever, some kind of conflict in Italy. I don't remember. I know that's terrible of me. I should know this. But,
no, I'm just it's not that important of a question.
Well, I mean, like it's been so long since the last time I picked it up and played a mission too. It's like anything that I knew about the story is gone.
Right.
So sorry. Anyway, so I played that with Sam. It's cool. I want to continue playing with him. But again, it's kind of like when we can schedule it, it's like one mission per session. So yeah, it'll be a while before I finish it. Mm-hmm. So I played more Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Did it get any less asinine?
Well, it continues to be a capable rhythm game. But the story continues to be terrible to the point of honestly giving me a headache.
All right. So the question is, will your love of Persona's music outstrip that and headache?
I was going to say, like, people are like, well, why don't you just not play the story? Well, here's the thing. I don't like rhythm games enough to want to just play the levels without the terrible story. Okay. And I like the voice actors and the characters, but the script they're working with is balls. So, you know, that's the thing. So it's kind of like, is my goodwill towards the characters and the voice actors and the music? And see, the thing is that this is a controversial opinion. I don't really like the remixes of the songs that are in this game. And the people who have played this game all totally love these remixes, like way into them. And so I'm like the oddball out who's like, nah, I'm good. But anyway, so what's funny though is that the best I've done on the rhythm battle part so far has been with Teddy, and Teddy is like a fucking annoying character. Like, of course I have to, with the worst character possible is the one that I do the best with on this game.
Remind me, do the different characters have different abilities that supplement the rhythm play, or
no, they're on the screen dancing around like fools in their own particular foolish fashion.
Is this like a little Bishan and Teddy, or is this Teddy in his full-on mask on suit?
Teddy in his Teddy suit wearing an Elvis costume that says Kuma, which means bear,
right,
on the front of it.
Of course.
You know, because Kuma is his name in Japan.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you, but that was just very important to know.
No, it's there's no discernible difference in anything when one character or another is on the screen. There isn't a you know, actual difference other than the voices that are calling out in the middle of the song.
Right.
And the way that they've been on the screen. So one thing that I just don't get, and I wonder if Mai can possibly answer this because I know you guys won't be able to. The main humor of this game supposedly comes from the manager of the idol group that disappeared, describing how the idols that disappeared need to dance at the Love Meets Bonds festival in these narratives that are stupid and nobody understands it, and it's not funny. Like, you need to do that part like a man who's trying to show his love for his woman by running across a street, and she looks at him in horror and remembers her lost lover who died, and then a truck comes and almost hits him but stops, and he says, I won't die. Like, and then that's like, that's what she says to describe how this person is supposed to dance, and then the character doesn't know what she's talking about, and then that's supposed to be like, ba-doom ching, and I'm like, flat. Like, I don't see how this is funny at all. So I don't know if it's one of those lost in translation type things, or if it's just terrible story writing in Japanese also. I don't know.
What it sounds like is they were trying to kind of tap into that Katamari Damacy King of All Cosmos kind of inanity in the dialogue without recognizing that the thing that made the King of All Cosmos work was that he was abusive to his son.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, so I don't know what's up with that, but anyway, I'm still playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get to the end of it. Like, I don't know that I'm going to be dwelling on after I finish it. But like at this point, it's kind of like when I was playing Persona 4 Golden, and it was like, guys, I'm exhausted. I'm 80 hours in. Guys, I'm exhausted. I'm 90 hours in. Guys, when is the game ending, guys? Like, and I finally got to the end of it. This game is not going to be that long, so I can hang in there, you know. But yeah. I don't know. Somehow I managed to finish that one, and I don't want to just set this one down. It's not like so terrible that I can't play it or anything like that. It's just the story is mind-bogglingly stupid. And then what Secret Agent Man told me is that the best is yet to come.
What?
There is a character later called the Dance Master, and he told me when you meet the Dance Master, oh yes. We're ready for it. Like I don't know if I should be ready to flip a table or just to have my brain melt out of my ear.
No, you should be ready for anything. When John told you this, did he? But by the best, did he mean the worst?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make that absolutely clear.
Oh, no, because this game, the story is the pits. There is no good in the story. So.
There is no light to be found.
Yeah, there's no light at the end of this tunnel. It is all terrible. So,
God damn.
Well, anyway, story-wise. So, yeah. All right. I am still playing it, though, because as I said before, I am not big into rhythm games. I've not really played them a whole lot, and it seems like sometimes with this particular game, there are certain tracks where the buttons that you push are kind of in time with the beat, which makes sense, you know, like the buttons you push. But other times it doesn't feel like it's quite on point with what they're, you know, what the beat is like. And I don't know if it's just because it's picking like a downbeat instead of something. I don't know. But some of it seems to work for me and some of it does not click.
There's a definite difference, and what am I thinking of here? The Watch Out for Fireballs episode on Rhythm Heaven and Elite Beat Agents was an object lesson in this. There's a big difference between a rhythm game that is about the creation of music and a rhythm game that is about dancing to music.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a dancing game will throw in all kinds of beats that are about like movements or transitional kind of things. Even if you're not doing the actual physical movement, like they just seem to get a little bit more like fast and loose with it. Whereas something that's about the creation of music, you're a Guitar Hero, Rock Band, or even something like Theatrhythm, where everything is tied to what's going on in the song, seems to make more sense. Right. Like, are you doing rhythm alongside or are you doing rhythm to contribute to?
Yeah, well, that it's ironic because I dance. However, this game is not necessarily clicking all 100% of the time, you know? So, I don't know. Maybe after I'm done with this, at some juncture, I will try Theatrhythm and see if that makes any more sense to me. Yeah. But anyway, like, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not, like, so excited about the genre that I need to go out there and buy it right this minute.
No, you'll. I mean, oh yeah,
it'll be like 2 years at least before I another rhythm game. But anyway,
I was about to say you don't own a 3D. You don't own a 3DS.
Yes, no, I do.
But you own a 2DS. I corrected myself.
I own a 3DS.
What?
Yes.
I thought you had a 2DS. Yes. Sorry.
No, I played the Metroid game on the 3DS.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And some other game that I talked about.
Proceed.
Oh, yeah, Fire Emblem. I played that game on the 3DS also.
Proceed. I had a lapse in memory.
Yeah, it's fine. So anyway, that's all I have to say about that so far. And then also, I have continued to play Hakuoki Kyoto Winds. In this game, I've played several more characters' routes, including one of the original characters that I don't remember you being able to romance in the original game, and then also two of the new characters. And both of the two new characters whose stories I played, Soma and Iba, have notably, like, way more romance in their storylines. There's still tons of blood and death and terrible bad events and plot twists and all that stuff that, like, you know, makes this game such a big drama. Like, I was telling Mai about some of the story and she's like, whoa, that's a lot of stuff. That sounds like a really good drama. I'm like, it is. It's a very, very good story. But anyway, on those two new characters, though, they're both way more forward about caring for Chizuru, who is the main girl, than even the most romantically inclined character from the original bunch. So Iba in particular is a character who is a childhood friend of the protagonist, whose attitude towards her from the very start when his plot begins is like expressing his longstanding care and affection. So like he's just like the too perfect dude who's always loved her since they were five or some shit, you know?
Nice guy, the
super nice guy. And he also conveniently knows all of the Shinsengumi captains as well from before they were even in the Shinsengumi. And therefore, everybody loves Iba. Everybody loves Iba.
Because he's a good source of information, which I'm sure he's not bitter about at all.
Yeah. But anyway, so anyway, Soma, which is the other new guy that I played the route for, is clear that he has like a vested interest in protecting Chizuru. He's actually your kohai or your... like a younger person who is learning from you.
Like a protege almost.
Yeah. And so he runs around calling Chizuru senpai. And that makes me laugh because you see a female senpai far less frequently than you do a male one, at least in a lot of the stuff that comes over here.
Right.
So, but anyway, like he's just like obsessed with protecting her because he was given that job, and that's like he's very, very serious and dutiful. And so, you know, he's doing his duty, and depending upon whether or not you are actually romancing him or just being bros, you know, he may just be doing his duty because he cares for you as a friend, or maybe it's because he loved you, whatever. So, but there's lots of death and gore and terror, bad things, especially in Iba's, like the complicated story I was telling Mai about was Iba's route. He is kind of like the, I guess, the new canon guy you're supposed to be with instead of the original main dude. Cause they put so much effort into his story. So it's cray. I'll just say it like that. It's a real cray, real complicated story. So, and it's all new stuff because these are new characters. So this is completely new content. The next route that I'm going to be taking will be the other original cast member that you couldn't romance previously. And then I'll follow the story of the last new guy. And then I'll wrap it up with finishing up all the other characters that were in the original that I don't care about.
God, this game is the definition of sprawl.
Yeah, it's a long video game. And this is only half the story. I still have to get Edo Blossoms. It's just that, you know, like, I donated to the Wildlife Center because, you know, they were taking the dove that I found. And then I donated to a friend who had a GoFundMe for something very important for her family. And so, like, all of my money to buy the game has gone to charities.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for people who need it more than I do. So, I mean, like, I don't begrudge it, but it's a good thing that Kyoto Winds has so much more to offer me, and I'll be playing it for a while because I won't be able to buy Edo Blossoms for a bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is what I've been doing, and I know I've said it before, but I think that about the only person who might actually go and play Hakuoki... Okay, Tama has played some of Hakuoki. Briar... I think Briar and their wife, Casey, may be playing it soonish. But other than those people, I do not think anybody else is going to try it out because it's got the romance aspects in it somewhere. Yeah. And like your main character is a female protagonist. And like that is very upsetting to me because it's a good story. It's such a good story.
Absolutely. And you know, for me, like your description makes it sound very interesting. Like I like the idea.
I would just love to tell you the story, but I can't because it would ruin it. But love
it. but I haven't even finished like Corpse Party Book of Shadows, and I would want to move on to finish
up Blood Drive too.
What's that?
I finished Blood Drive too, but those stupid chasing after me, and I was just like scarred by your White Day experience.
someday.
Anytime now, a whistle is going to come out somewhere.
I'm literally just now getting those episodes up on YouTube. It's ridiculous. I've got it written down here. Just a little report here because everybody's interested in the editing details. Episode number 3. I had 3.5 hours of just kind of like raw footage after I cut away hiding and running and dying and basically all the repeated stuff. How much time out of that 3.5 hours do you think that I had in episode three?
I know the answer, so I can't.
I can't say.
I'm gonna say 25. I was gonna guess sub 30. Maybe that's aggressive.
No, that is, so both of you are really aggressive about that. It's an hour 44, which is
still impressive.
Right around half of that footage was usable, and that's why it's taken a long time to get that up there, because White Day is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, that's kind of the reason why I'm like, I'm just gonna play some other stuff that is totally not Corpse Party Blood Drive, and then I'll get back to that, and then I'll be okay. Because it's kind of like, you know, I walked away from Persona 4 Golden, and I also walked away from Final Fantasy Tactics, and then I came back and I finished them, but yeah, I had to set them down for a while.
Just recharge your patience. You know,
yeah, recharge my patience meter, which is only just so to begin with. So,
yeah.
Oh, anyway, so that's all I've been playing.
Yeah. Ben, how about you? What you been up to?
Yeah. So I actually have a new game, because this is I feel bad that I haven't played anything new in a while, but there's also like not a lot of new games out, maybe. I don't know. I played a game called Far Lone Sails. This is kind of on the back of the Steam Summer Sale. I've just been looking around for like what games have decent deals and are interested in playing. This was one that I came across. I was watching Jonathan Blow's Twitch stream. He was playing Subnautica, and somebody recommended that he played this on the stream. Uh-huh. It's a weird like go right video game, very similar to Inside in the premise of it. Where it's kind of dystopian, beautiful imagery that you're going by. The difference is that you're commandeering like a ship. And so the way you go to the right is you're kind of like operating this one person ship, but it's kind of like Subnautica in that there's like three or four different roles you need to be doing. So you're constantly like bouncing between them to get it to keep moving. Mm-hmm. And one of the roles is finding like detritus and like refuse like around and throwing it into like the fuel bin to keep like gas going on your ship.
Yeah, doing like a Snowpiercer kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's an interesting game. It's a really short game. It took me like 3 to 4 hours to beat. Uh-huh. The game's really beautiful. There's a lot of like kind of interesting things they do and a lot of kind of like creative set pieces that they do. Mm-hmm. So I like that aspect on it. The negative side to it is it is kind of compared to like, it's hard not to compare it to Inside since the game's very similar in premise. Also, like another issue with it is the mechanic of like keeping the ship going. That's the main mechanic of the game, and it's not really developed a lot in the course of the game. Like by the end of the game, you're kind of doing the same thing with the ship as you were doing in the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. And also on top of that, that mini game of keeping the ship going kind of distracts you from looking around at the art as you're going by it. So kind of like lessens the impact of like seeing the stuff that you're like going by, because you can't really pay attention to it as much.
It looks a little bit like, so when you go into the cutaway, it's almost like a single player version of Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time. Ooh. Almost.
I'm not familiar with that game.
That's a, correct me if I'm wrong, Dennis, but like that is a side-scrolling game where you are trying to keep a ship going like by manning multiple systems, but the idea is it's multiplayer, right?
Yeah, not necessarily a move right game. It's two dimensions, but you're going all over the place.
Gotcha.
This is the first time that I've heard more than two people use the phrase move right game.
Yeah. I started with Aqua Teen Hunger Force's Go Right, the video game, and here we are.
Oh god, it's been forever since I've thought about Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Thank you for that.
No problem. So I guess I don't, I don't have a whole lot more to say about it. There's a few other flaws with the game too, where there's a couple situations where you can get into no-win scenarios if you like don't pick up enough fuel or like use it all. And the only way out of that is you have to quit the game and restart it, because because I guess they were aware of this to some extent. That like you start off with a small amount of fuel, so that can like get you past certain situations where you would otherwise just like not have a win condition.
So when you start off, like every time you load up, you get a little bit of a boost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so one example is you can like pool the ship if you're out of fuel. Like there's little like what's it called? Like winches on either side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like certain parts where if it's up a hill, you can only pull it so far. And if the slant's high enough, you can't pull it up. So there's like one instance or in another situation too. If there's like a wall, for example, you know, you can walk up to the wall, but you can't pull it any closer than that. So like the winch has like a certain amount of slack to it. So you can't pull it like taut up against the wall.
Right.
And so sometimes that matters if it's like, you need to pull it onto an elevator platform or something like that.
Right.
So that's like a case where it'd be like a no win situation, but,
yeah,
I don't know. There are some upgrades to the ship where there's like a few things that they'll add on, but a lot of it doesn't really feel too meaningful. And there's like, not that it needs like an upgrade system or anything like that, or like, you know, something to like get dopamine squirts or anything like that. But, it was just, they do have puzzles like where the ship will stop and you kind of have to like figure out an area a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's like an okay to mix it up, okay way to mix it up. But yeah, I don't know. In summation, it's like a bite-sized game that I think it's worth like $5 to play maybe, but not really much more than that. So
right,
yeah,
so atmospheric, simple, small.
Yeah, and really good art style. So if you're into that, then that could be fun.
But, yeah.
Yep. Outside of that, I've played a little bit of a Divinity Original Sin 2. It was the co-op one that I'm doing with one of my friends. So I haven't gotten past where I'm at in my single player in the co-op game I'm playing. So not really much to be said about that. It does make me want to go and play on a harder difficulty, because since I played the starting area of that game like 3 or 4 times, I feel like I landed on a really good combat system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the lone wolf summoner. If you play with two people who are summoners, and you can rush your summon being like giant, like it gets like really overpowered at like level 10. But they have a mechanic called lone wolf where if you're only with two people instead of four people, since you have up to four people in your party,
right,
your stats go twice as fast. So you can like rush that early on, and like, yeah, combat's like not really too difficult in the single player game that I'm playing.
Nice.
So I don't know. But yeah, that's still a pretty good game. It reminds me a lot of Knights of the Old Republic. And then as one small last thing, I've also been playing Knights of the Old Republic 2 for fun, just because I don't know of many current games to play right now, or there's not a lot of games out right now that I'm interested in. So that's been fun to get back to. That game still holds up in terms of writing. So
are you doing something different in your playthrough that you've done before, or are you just going straight back and doing the same play for nostalgia?
I mean I'm trying to maximize like skill points, so, but I think that's probably how I would have played it whenever I played it for the first time, where it's just like trying to max out all the skills of the person just so you can basically see all the corners of like the dialogue trees,
of course,
and then taking that secondary to like any sort of combat perks or whatever, so you can just kind of dredge through that.
Nice.
But yeah
mm-hmm. Cool. That first game that you talked about, in case anybody's listening is like, wait a minute, what? We didn't say it more than once. That is Far Lone Sails. FAR: Lone Sails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Neat. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, no new games to talk about, but some additional thoughts on games that I've been cranking on for a bit. So first off is Realm Royale. Which I mentioned the last time I talked about it, that it was kind of cool to be playing in the alpha phase, where they're making pretty drastic changes pretty frequently. But the most recent one they made was really confusing to me. So they have, you know, the whole thing about this battle royale game is that there are forges throughout the map, and that's where you can craft special legendary equipment that you can't get anywhere else. It's like the entire reason the game is unique, that in their class-based system, which each class has a unique legendary weapon. So, of course, naturally, in the most recent update, they patched out the unique legendary weapon for each class. It just is not available anymore.
What?
It's like, dog, those are literally the two things that I was coming here for.
Yeah.
Why would you take those away?
Oh, in the name of balance, the shittiest goal any developer could have.
Continue. Well, that, yeah. yeah, insanity. And the closest I can figure is like at the, you know, towards the end game, you can pretty reliably guess that every single person you come up against has the legendary class weapon, right?
Uh-huh.
And they changed it so that now legendary versions of weapons can show up in the, you know, in the general world as you're opening chests. And I guess they want it to be like, oh, hey, so every once every 50 games, you'll find a legendary weapon. And then once every whatever that is, you know, 600 games, because there's all these different weapon types, that legendary weapon will be your class weapon, which just... I've just never seen someone so completely misunderstand why their game is fun.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to turn into, for the low price of 99 cents, you could get the legendary weapon from the get-go, or?
Yeah, right. Right. I don't know how they're going to monetize on this. I have to imagine it's cosmetics. The other thing that changed is like your home screen, which normally shows like your mount, which is a horse, and your chicken form on it, is now showing a dragon and a little dragonling as the mount and the chicken. So that's not available in the game yet, but I'm sure it's coming. Yeah. And I have to imagine like a part of the monetization for this would be changing your mount, changing your chicken form.
Yeah.
But
know some oily guy was like, nah, to make this a 10x investment, we need to XYZ. Fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's disappointing. And combine that with the fact that I'm at the arc in the game where my beginner's luck is starting to wear off.
Okay.
I'm in a slump, and it's just, ugh. There's a ton of potential there, but it's pissing me off right now.
Mm.
So yeah, that's Realm Royale. I've placed second while Ben was watching. I've placed third, and then I've come into the top 10 several different times. Like that's
good. Awesome.
Yeah, usually not so bad.
Yeah.
I'm all for experimenting. I just want it to be fixed quick. Like, okay, fine. Like, what would happen if, and you got everyone shouting at you, put it back in now, you're in alpha, all will be forgiven. But if they, like, stick to their guns, or, like, Ben, if you said, if suddenly it shows back up as a paid option, I will be out.
Yeah.
Nah, that's gross. That's no good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's Realm Royale. The other game that I've been playing more of, and this time it's very good changes, is Riggs, which is the PSVR multiplayer game. It's mech combat. It is team-based.
you mean team-based, not teen-based?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, sorry. I really just wanted to make sure we knew.
It's actually a surprisingly low number of teens that are playing, because the kind of new thing on this front is I've found like the community for this game.
Uh-huh.
And it was hiding. Like it was nowhere. It was hard to get to. I had to Google online, find a Reddit post that pointed me to a Discord page, which pointed me to another Discord, which pointed me to a friend who pointed me to a PlayStation community, who pointed me to another PlayStation community, who I interacted with a person on that, who added me to a chat string on PlayStation. It's not even a group.
Jesus Christ. So and you like you had to walk down like a Get Smart hallway of like of checks. to make sure you got into this community.
That's where they all are, and it's like a list of like 900 people, but super active. There's always someone posting about playing, and you have to do a little bit of gymnastics in terms of like, all right, let's get a group of six people together and then let's all queue at the same time so we'll all get auto-filled into like division matches.
Yeah,
so you can actually play ranked games. But the other thing that means is that it's it feels like a relatively small group that's playing.
Right.
And you oftentimes know or have interacted with the people you're playing with. And it's this feel that I have not gotten since Dorm Room Halo.
Hmm.
Where it's just like, I'll spawn in. I'll be like, oh man, you know, we're getting our lunch eaten right now. And the guy to be like, oh yeah, that's Neo Achilles across the way there. He's like the best player in the game right now.
or, people you know, are like, known by name.
No, it really, really is that way. You know, it's like, you know, oh, we're those two Russian dudes. They were awesome. Let's see if we can pair up with them. Or, you know, just like that kind of conversation is going on as you're playing. And there's also a more widely varying skill level. And so it's not just about your ability in the game, but it's about your ability to be like, all right, I'm a number one ranked player. You are, you know, 10. And I'm gonna say, all right, like, hey, you go to that top corner, you know, watch for this. I'm gonna go over here, try to flush someone out. And like, there's just kind of this, it's really cool when you can kind of tell within the game, like, all right, this is the guy we need to be picking on, and this is the guy I need to run when I see him on the other side of the map.
Yeah.
So that's a ton of fun that I'm having with the game right now. And it took some doing to find the community for this. But it's been absolutely lovely. It's been, you know, in those situations where, I actually, like I said, played with this guy, Neo Achilles, who's apparently a local legend. And he was suggesting after a couple games, he's like, hey, look, why don't we, like, after this game, we'll swap up teams so that, you can, like, rotate through. And essentially it was like kind of, you know, acknowledging like, all right, might be a little unbalanced right now, so let's intentionally switch that up, because everyone just wants to have like balanced matches and exciting memories and all that stuff.
Right.
So that has been fantastic.
Huh.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Final game is I'm continuing to play Trackmania.
Okay.
I have gotten as far as I can by earning silver medals. And sort of circled back around and started earning gold medals. And that's the first time I was like, I'm only going to get gold medals. And then I got to a point, I was just like, I'm not having fun. Let's go back. Let's just go for silver medals.
Yeah.
And it has been very dramatic now circling back to that earlier portion of the game, just how much noticeably better I've gotten at it. And it's just, I go through these tracks where, like, I have the memory very clearly of like really struggling, literally like across play sessions or across days to eke out a silver medal. And then I jump back in after having played, 60 more tracks, and I'm like, oh my God, I see the line. I know exactly what I need to be doing. Like, I understand why I was having so much trouble last time, and I can blow right through it. So that's a really good feeling. And that game is just amazed me with how it has continually thrown me back and forth on that curve of mastery, going from feeling like a complete beginner to feeling like I'm really getting something under control, and then putting me in a situation where I feel like a beginner all over again.
Yeah.
Like, that racing game has that loop down pat.
Yeah. Like, you notice it, a plateau, like you work up against a wall, and then like you feel like you've ratcheted up to something new.
Exactly. So that's incredibly rewarding. The game also just has a global leaderboard that it shows how far you move up it every single time you get a new best time. And man, if you want me addicted to something, just give me a global leaderboard. Like, that is absolute candy. And I've been enjoying that.
Nice. We should clarify for people who are listening to you talk about this game for the first time. Like, this is like a very arcadey, a very arcadey racing game where the the individual like heats are incredibly short, but you're doing very technical courses and trying to perfect a run, right?
Exactly. Like a track, the longest possible tracks are multi-lap, and a lap is never going to be over like a minute 15.
Yeah.
Typically you're in the range of like 30 to 40 seconds, and that does extend later in the game as you get to more difficult tracks, but the average is definitely around 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It feels really good. It is arcadey, but it is not Mario Kart arcadey.
Right.
Like, there is still a ton of like technical depth and knowing your lines and all that stuff. It's just like the cars slide around upside down in insane ways that would never work in real life.
Yeah.
I also experimented with going into online, which has a series of they're either randomly generated or user curated tracks, just in a lobby, and you jump in with everyone else that you're playing with. And I think there's like 60 people going at once, and you start racing, trying to complete the track in the fastest time. And if it's a 30-second track, the game gives you like 3 minutes to just work up to your fastest possible time. And then your final score is whatever your fastest completion of the track was.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's a really fun way to kind of do multiplayer in a low pressure environment. If you screw up horribly, it's fine. You've got like 10 more tries before the time is over. So that kind of takes some of my frustration with previous racing games off, where if you're playing online, you just have to be so frame perfect. Because anyone that's there has figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
This feels a little more lenient. And then it kind of, you know, you're never spending more than 3 minutes on a track. If you don't like it, rate it poorly as the game loads up the next one and you're off.
Yeah.
So that method, though, of where, you know, where I'm used to being able to really focus on one track and like learn every single curve has now, you know, thrown me back into beginner stage, where now I show up and I've got 3 minutes to figure this thing out, same as everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a very different way to play. So I think I said either last week or the last time we recorded that this, I'm very surprised to how much I have stuck to this racing game. Typically it's, you know, racing is not super duper my genre, but this is scratching several different itches in a great way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's me.
Nice. Trackmania.
Trackmania Turbo. Maybe deluxe edition. I forget.
Something like that.
I will check and let you know, but it is, yeah, some kind of Trackmania game.
Trackmania, PS4.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I hate to disappoint everybody, but I really don't have anything to say about games that I've been playing. What's that?
You got a sweet stream that you did over the weekend, but I guess
that's true.
Yeah, no, I like to wait until those are done. Okay. So if people are curious about the cat lady, go and watch the streams. The archive will be up on YouTube probably like next week as people are hearing this. That game comes with a severe content warning because it very much deals with depression and suicide specifically in ways that are far too resonant, actually. It is a beautiful game visually, and like the writing in The Cat Lady hits like a sweet spot that I hold a lot of media up against, which is, you know, when something happens, does a character, not necessarily the main character, but does a character react in the way that I would? You know, like there's a point where you're in a hospital and you walk up to a counter and there's a piece of paperwork you need to grab, and you go to grab it, and the nurse who's watching says, "Hey, you're not, you know, that's confidential. You're not supposed to grab that." And on the stream, I said, "Well, why is it out in the open?" And the character said, "Well, you shouldn't leave it on the counter like that." I was like, "Okay, yeah, they have taken into account how human beings would react to these situations, so that is good."
The Coleception.
A little bit. But like everybody has those moments, right, where you say, I mean, like at the very base level, you say, "Oh shit," and then a character in a piece of media says, "Oh shit," you know, like, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. like that is that is believable and good. I'm excited to play more of it. I'll talk more about it later on. It is, you know, a horror adventure game that has a very beautiful visual style, but yeah, I would definitely say huge caveats because of the heavy subject matter that it deals with. But like, other than that, go ahead.
Meanwhile, the little Lisa Frink thing that I posted in our backstage is kind of on point with that.
let me pull it up because I didn't see it come through. Let me see.
So other than that, it's been a good experience. Huh?
This is great. This is a bunch of colorful dolphins swirling around the center of the image. And it says, "Blissfully succumb to the whirling blackness of eternal oblivion."
And it's really like there's a rainbow. There's brightly colored coral. This is totally a Lisa Frank knockoff. Yeah. You know?
Lots of happy clownfish and jellyfish. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No. Like, you know, dealing with depression and self-harm and things like that. Those are not necessarily things that are off limits for a game. But like, it is something that I wish I would have known to like tell people when I was promoting, like, yeah, I'm going to play this game. Like if seeing a game where the main character harms himself is the first thing in the game is going to make your day worse, you know, maybe wait for it later. But yeah, I know better now because this game is heavy AF, a little bit in an edgelord way, but not necessarily. Like, it is enough to make me very intrigued about it. It's just in a different mode than something like a Silent Hill.
I popped in for a little bit of it and then I was like, okay. I'll play this individually on my own at some later juncture, and then I went away, and that is how that went.
it's something. The content and the degree of the content are something you just need to gird yourself for, right?
Yeah,
you know. But it's well done, at the very least aesthetically, which is about where I'm at right now. Yeah. But other than that, it's been a bunch of assignment play and then things that I generally always play a little bit of, but don't really want to talk about, which is like Rocksmith, you know? Yeah. Rocksmith is fun though.
You don't talk about Rocksmith. You sing about Rocksmith.
Not really. I play Rocksmith because that's how I practice guitar. They've had a lot of good stuff come out. They had Dashboard by Modest Mouse come out.
Ooh, nice.
Which is really good for Paul muting a lead, which is not something you generally do, but Isaac Brock does all the time. So it's neat to play along with that. Yeah. But that is everything. Any questions about either of those, either the Cat Lady or Rocksmith?
No.
Not for me.
Look forward to seeing you stream it some more.
The Cat Lady or Rocksmith?
You do a great job. It's the game. It's a hard game to stream.
It's so hard, right? Because you know, I said this on the episode, and I said it a little bit in the Slack for Hex Crank. But it's like, okay, my default mode generally, you know, if not in real life, where I'm just a cantankerous introverted loner, but like at least on the stream and in the show is like I like being genial, right? You know, like I'm most comfortable laughing about things and being good natured and presenting things in a, you know, not like in a positive way, but at least in a magnanimous way. Right. Mm-hmm. It is very hard to do that in response to something like the Cat Lady. So you have to modulate. And for me, modulating kind of defaults to like, I'm not going to say anything over this because I don't want to make light of what this game is discussing. Not that it's not worthwhile to discuss, but like it's difficult as a commentator to react to that in a way that does the subject matter service, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a balancing act. It's one that's worth doing, but like it was not one that I was expecting to do that night. So
yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, how do you all feel about buttoning it up? Jolly, I think buttons. You have an opinion about buttons. What was that?
I said the buttons, but you talked over.
You
me.
Said, but then and that's why I asked you to repeat it. So one more time.
Buttons.
Okay. The credit. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this episode number 247 of The Level. We really appreciate it. I want to repeat a call to action that I did last time, which was if you can go to duckfeed.tv/store and buy the Diggity Duck Bundle 2. This whole crew that was here, we did a special episode about Inside, a game that Ben referenced when he was talking about Far Lonely Sales. Lone Sales. Sorry.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Lone Sales, by the way. Fun word combination there.
Lone Sales. Yeah. Go there and check that out. All the proceeds from that go to three very worthy charities. Let me look this up and see how much we have raised from that.
So in the meantime, I will say that also that was another thing of charity that I also sent through my money at. And also, it is worth $10 to listen to Days of Future Cast to hear Gary call Jeremy Kuhn.
That is very good. They were so miserable. Like I was talking with both of them just about the process of doing that. Just like they had to spend so much time like just watching that thing to get through it because they had no endurance for it. And it so shows.
Yeah.
So the Diggity Duck Bundle 2 has brought in just a little bit over $1,900 in the less than the week that it's been up. So that is fantastic, especially when Diggity Duck Bundle 1 in its first year brought in $3,500. So let us beat the original total.
Yay.
Yeah.
It's for good causes.
Yes. Cool. Well, I think that's everything. You know, the usual stuff you can do. Ratings, reviews, Patreon, iTunes, etc., etc. Telling friends. Am I forgetting anything important?
I think that gets it.
Okay. So I've been Cole Ross. You can find me at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me at GreenLaser73 on Twitch.
I'm Jolichon in places, but also, I have more recently started doing time lapses when I'm doing sketches and stuff on my Neon Sky Studio. Yeah, so Neon Sky Studio. I'm also Neon Skies Studio. The skies are plural. in places as well. You can go look at my art things there. I have been posting old work and sketches, and then also new stuff and time lapses and things like that. So go look at those things also.
Yeah.
And I've been Ben Merkel at Merkleby on Twitch.
Yeah. And stick around for some titles. All right, I only have one, and it's Hung with Care. I said I was going to work it back in later on, but I couldn't. I didn't want to force it, so.
No, I am with you on that. I also had Club Cole. But I Hung with Care was the other one I captured.
Yeah. Ben, what you got?
I had nothing, but I vote for Club Cole.
Okay.
And I have 4.
Oh, wow.
Nubasil, Hung with Care.
Okay.
Home for Scared People.
that is the name of an Aquid thing, so I don't know that we can do that.
Oh, okay. Groovra.
Yeah, I got a lobby for Hung with Care.
Yeah,
but everybody picked that one up. But
I'm very sorry, Ben. Even though you voted for Club Cole, Hung with Care has outvoted. So
the masses have overturned me.
Yeah, sorry. Okay,
gotta give the people what they want. Santa's junk.
Just sticking down the chimney.
Oh, no. Fantastic.
All right. Well, I'm going to go and go to bed and hope that I don't wake up hungover tomorrow, which would be weird.
With that the last bit, you have made my eyes start dripping. You finally made it happen. My eyes leaking.